We also want to welcome each one this morning to the house of the Lord. Our brother has asked us to read from Psalm 148, another psalm of praise to God, and I wonder how many of us praise him enough. He's been so good to us in so many ways, and because of him, we have that great hope of what's ahead. Psalm 148. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord, from the heavens. Praise him in the height. Praise you, him, all his angels. Praise you, him, all his hosts. Praise you, him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds fulfill his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. As I go through life and the older I get, I realize that none of us, and I know I don't, praise the Lord enough. He's a wonderful Savior. He has given his Son that we can have eternal life. And it gives us so many blessings and freedoms here in this country. But how many times do we really praise him from the bottom of our hearts? Let us kneel together.
I'm thankful for Brother Merle's prayer on my behalf and you for praying as well. Thank you. And we trust that the Lord will be exalted this morning, that we will leave here better than when we came, not because of me, but because of what he will do. Might just say this at the beginning, Ray failed to tell you that it's also his birthday today, and I think it's okay to say his age. We don't really care about that, do we? No, I didn't think so. He's 54. He is older than me. It's also Brother Ken's birthday, and I could take a guess at his age, but maybe I shouldn't. I have an idea because of being around him so much, but anyway, please pray for him as he has a lot on his plate this week. The title, it's so good to have Brother Harold and Sister Priscilla here. It makes me a little more nervous, but I love you dearly, and it's so good to have you here. Brother Harold prayed in our room. You have to be me to really appreciate that prayer. And I thank him for that. But the title this morning is Reverence for God's Name. I want to begin by mentioning some names. And what comes to your mind about the individual or company when I do so? First of all, let's start with McDonald's. I think of Big Mac. I've enjoyed quite a number of them over the years, so that's probably the first thing I think of. How about Hershey's? Probably chocolate. That probably comes ahead of the hospital. to most people's minds, at least what they think of. John Deere, farm equipment, green ones, right? Some people here appreciate those. How about in names like of individuals like Bill Gates, richest person in the world, 17th time, according to the Forbes magazine, that he's topped out, worth approximately $75 billion. I'm not even a distant second. Can you imagine that? How about some other names like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, presidential candidates? Maybe we better leave it at that. Billy Graham, Southern Baptist preacher, evangelist, crusades. If he lives to, I believe it's November 7th, he would be 97. I like one of the things he once said, and I wrote it down. When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. And as far as we know, I think his ministry has remained above scandals and so on throughout the years. So I believe he took that to heart. How about Judas Iscariot? Betrayer. How about Bruce Caitlin Jenner? Changed his name and his body, but still the same person, and I can't stop thinking that she is a man. Someone of interest, and some of you will recognize this name, is Tony Dungy. He's a former professional football coach, professing believer, I believe, and by what he has said. He once said, people look at me and see a calm, cool guy on the sidelines, and I want them to know that my Christian faith affects my coaching and everything I do. Somebody recently was asked about him and what they think when they, or what they think about when his name is mentioned. And right, the first thing that person said was integrity. A person to follow. Thinking about what you think about when you think of a person's name. Names are important. In a business, they make a connection to a product or a service. For individuals, names connect a person to who he or she is. When we say a name, we think about what we know about the person, what they do, what they look like, what they've done, what they're like. Names are important because they connect us to the person. It'd be hard to say, you know, you over there, or who, you know, if we didn't have names. What about God's name? When I say God, what do you think about? Creator, eternal one, holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, just, salvation, provider, protector, and on and on. God's name connects us to what we know about him. Not only that, but God's names, because there are many of them in the Old Testament, numerous names for God, they define him. They tell what he is like and who he is. They tell something about his character, his attributes. For example, the first name for God in Scripture is Elohim, and it means the strong creator God. Other names such as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, a characteristic or an attribute. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. El Shaddai, Almighty God. El Selah, God my rock. Jehovah Hashapet, the Lord the judge. Adonai, or Adonai, master over all, and there's many more. You get the point. God's name tells us who he is. It's not just a name. It represents all about him. No wonder it is to be revered and to be exalted and to be lifted up. And God places so much importance on the name, or on his name, that he included in the Ten Commandments instructions that we are not to use it in vain. In Exodus 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And he later says in Leviticus 24, 16, the seriousness of the sin. He says, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. There'd be a lot of killing today, wouldn't it? What is it about the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus, the name of God that makes it so, so important? Well, it encompasses all of who God is. It encompasses all of who he is. We need to reverence God's name because when we do, we reverence God. It's important that we get that and that we realize that God's name is more than just names that we're kind of used to, but it involves and encompasses all of who he is. I want you to listen. It's a lot of scriptures, but listen to the emphasis placed on the name of the Lord in the scriptures. In Genesis 13, 4, Abram, he was still Abram at that point in worship. It says he called on the name of the Lord. Why? Because of who was behind that name or who that name was. In Exodus 13, 19, when Moses met with God, God was speaking there, and he says this, God speaking, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And the next chapter, when the Lord comes down, he did just that. It says in verse 5 of chapter 34 of Exodus, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Significance. Importance, what it involves and what it meant, who he is. In 1 Samuel 17, 45, David before Goliath, what did he say? He said, thou come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee, what? In the name of the Lord of hosts. That meant something. Now, I'm not so sure the Philistines got it. But God knew what David was saying. And David knew. In 1 Kings 5:5, Solomon speaking, he says, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord spake unto David, my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. In 1 Kings 18, 24, Elijah speaking, he said, and you call in the names of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. The significance again of the name of the Lord. Job 1:21, Job speaking, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 20, verse 7, the psalmist says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember what? The name of the Lord our God. Psalm 113. 2, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 124, 8 says, our help is where? In the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Proverbs 18, 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Why? Because it embodies who he is. It encompasses all that God is. So it's a strong tower when we talk about his name. I guarantee you that my name's not like that, and neither is yours. But his is. In Mark 11, verse 9, Jesus entering Jerusalem, we know it as a triumphal entry, and they that went before him, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh, what? In the name of the Lord. In Acts 2, 21, in Romans 10, 13, it says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Again, there's so much behind that name and involved because it embodies the whole person God. Acts 9, 29, referring to Saul, who would become later named, be changed to Paul, says that he spoke boldly. Paul or Saul, however, whoever you want to call him here, but he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Acts 19:5, the people at Ephesus, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 22:16, as a result, or let me back up. Acts 22:16, it says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Again, seeing the emphasis of that in Scripture. And then as a result of what happened there in Acts 19:17, it says that the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Acts 21:13 tells us Paul was willing to die for what? It says for the name of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Previous to that, it gives a list of those not inherited in the kingdom of God, and names such as thieves, drunkards, fornicators, adulterers, revilers, homosexuals. And it says in verse 11, and such for some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. That's us who are believers. What are we justified? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. James 5:14 speaks of calling for the elders, for the anointing service. What are the elders to do? They are to pray over the person, anointing him or her with oil, what? In the name of the Lord. It's not just any name. It embodies all of who God is. It's of great importance, the name of the Lord. It's so significant because of who he is. Well, in reverence to God's name, we want to consider three things. First of all, God's name should lead to praise instead of profanity. God's name should lead to praise instead of profanity. You maybe heard this before, but it certainly brings the point. Little Mary was attending Sunday school for the first time one Christmas season, eagerly listened as her teacher told of the birth of God's Son. She was thrilled to hear the story of the angels, the wise men, the star, and the gifts. And then the teacher added, and they shall call his name Jesus. And Mary looked over at the person beside her and asked, why did they have to name such a sweet baby a swear word? It was the first time she had ever heard his name used outside of a curse. It made me think of that. A little story or this and this thought made me think of a song from years ago that was wrote by Neil Enlow. Some of you would be, I know you would know the song. Simply said, he's more than just a swear word, more than just an I don't care word. How can we use his name so recklessly? Our only hope is in this one word, whosoever will may come word. He's more than just a swear word. He's a precious Son of God. Think about it. The way his name is used by people who are tossed or who are caught and tangled in chains and are prisoners, and they're using his name, the only name that can free them, but they're cursing it and using it in vain. Never should profaning God's name be an option for the believer. But there must be, and there has to be praise. There must be praise. I'm amazed. Well, I don't know if that's the right word, but just at the studying that I did and the verses that I picked out, but so many verses that talk about praise and that emphasize the need to praise the Lord, to praise God, to praise the name of the Lord. And I would concur with Brother Merle, there's no way I do it enough. And I doubt, I think we can say none of us do. His name is so great, he must be praised. He must be praised. Psalm 8 verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. It hasn't changed. It doesn't matter how many people put down his name. Well, it does matter, but the fact that they're doing that and cursing his name and blaspheming, it doesn't change that his name is still great in all the earth. Greatly to be praised. Psalm 148, the chapter Brother Merle read there. Listen, there's not a person who's exempt for this. In verse 11, it says, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. Why? Because it embodies who he is. It's all that he is. His person, his greatness, his holiness, his almightiness. To honor the name of God, we need to be praising him. We can do so by speaking praise. We can do so by speaking praise. And we can do so by singing praise. Psalm 145, verse 21 says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. That's referring to speaking. Psalm 7, verse 17 refers to singing. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 104:33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 40 verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 147:1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. Has the point made yet that we need to be singing praises to the Lord, not just speaking it? You say, well, I can't sing. Now, I realize some people don't sing as well as others. And I'm not claiming to be the best myself. Let me suggest this, that in the congregation, blend in. It really doesn't, it's not really about how you're singing. I mean, I know we don't want it to be a distraction, but try to blend in. But it is important that you're praising God and singing. And when you're by yourself, cut loose. Because I guarantee you, God doesn't care that it doesn't sound quite like somebody else's, but he'll take the praise. And there's verse after verse after verse that talk about singing praise. And a new song has been put in my heart. It's in my mouth. It needs to be expressed. You know, there may be times you may see me going down the highway My mouth may be moving. My hand may be up. And I'm not waving to you. But it's in praise. You know what? I think that's okay. I'll try to keep the hands on the steering wheel. But I think that's all right. When it's from the heart. Sometimes we use the word hallelujah. Or we hear others use it. What does it mean? What's the word hallelujah mean? Well, the dictionary definition says it's a word or it's used to express praise, joy, or thanks, especially to God. That's okay. But we don't find the actual word hallelujah in the scripture, but it's there. It's in the Hebrew. And I believe it's hallel-yah. Is that, if I pronounced that correct? But it means praise ye Jehovah, and it's rendered, translated as we have it in the King James here, praise ye the Lord. It's the same as hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. And I'd like to just say something here quickly. When we think about praising God, it's all right to say praise God or thank you God. Sure it is. When we mean it. I want you to think about something. Back in the winter when we had that most marvelous event, and I do mean marvelous from my perspective, when we had 30 inches of snow and all that good stuff. The Friday night that started, I went out in the truck that night. I guess I'm a little crazy. But I left school a little early to get going as quick as I could. I knew what they were predicting. Sure enough, it starts snowing on my way home. My boss had made it clear that, look, if you need me, I'll even come get you. I really appreciated his concern. But as it turns out, I was the last driver out on the roads. And it was getting late Friday night. Things were getting to the point where it was time to get off and time to get home. I really wanted to get home. I got back to the terminal and parked that truck. And I'd been in conversation some with my boss, and I called him. And if I remember, I think he said, thank God you're back or you made it. And I thought, yeah, most people will say thank God. They don't have a problem with that. So the Lord allowed me to garner up the courage, and I said, thank the Lord, I made it. You know what he did? He responded back, yes, thank the Lord. We need to be praising God. We need to be praising the Lord. And make it plain who we're talking about. 10 of the Psalms begin with this praise ye the Lord or hallelujah. They're known as the hallelujah Psalms. 5 of them are in Psalm 146 to 148. They begin and they end with hallelujah, or praise ye the Lord, praise ye Jehovah. I believe it's proper to say hallelujah when it's meant to praise the Lord and from one's heart. In Psalm 111, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. And this is one of the other hallelujah psalms, and that really is saying there, hallelujah, or praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. When it's from the heart, it's proper to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't know, you know, if getting back to this singing, there's no greater song. I don't know what you're singing, if you sing. But there's no greater song than one that declares the greatness of God. Think of that. There's no greater song than one that declares the greatness of God. And somebody took that, expressed that in the using of the word hallelujah and praise. And they put it this way and why it's so important. They said, there is no greater song. There is no greater fame. There is no other Savior. There is no other name. Creation testifies. The angels stand in awe to hear the saints declaring the greatness of our God. So let every hallelujah, let every glad refrain invite the King of Heaven to come and take his place, with every voice proclaiming the great things he has done. Let God be crowned with glory. With every hallelujah. Listen to this next part. There is no higher king. There is no higher throne. Majestic and eternal, his kingdom, it stands alone. There is no other rock that we build our lives upon. So we rise and we give him honor. All praise to him belongs. Let every hallelujah, let every glad refrain invite the King of Heaven, come and take your place. With every voice proclaiming the great things he has done, let God be crowned with glory. With every hallelujah. Indeed. Listen, there's no higher throne than his. There's no kingdom like his. His kingdom stands alone. We're building our lives upon him, the rock, and we're doing it because we think he's that valuable that we're willing to place our lives upon him. So no doubt, there's no question we need to be and we have to be praising him and thanking him and exalting him because we're willing to put our lives on him, the rock. How can we not be praising him? And sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, I know I'm guilty of this, so I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. You have to answer for yourself. But sometimes we go through life or we come to church and it's so ho-hum and we just do the things we need to do and we sing along. And I realize there's times you don't feel like singing and you're down and I understand that. And there's going to be those times. But overall, there needs to be some praise and it needs to be some emotion coming out of us, out of our hearts in worship for our God. It's amazing to me that God has created us. He created us with emotions. Some of us are more emotional than others. I realize that some people, you very rarely see emotion. But yet he's created us with emotions. And he's created us with a way to express them. And we'll do it. We will do it for other things. Then why do we think we can't when it comes to God? I don't quite understand that. I know I'm guilty of it too. Think about it. God's name must lead us to praise, not profanity. Secondly, and I will move quickly, so don't worry. God's name must lead us to worship. By the way, this is not an all-inclusive list. This is just three things. God's name must lead us to praise, not profanity. Secondly, God's name must lead us to worship. Praise is worshiping God. When it's from the heart, praise is worshiping God. But worship includes more. Worship is a result of focusing on the truth of God's word. How are we supposed to worship? In truth and in spirit. In other words, any worship that is outside of the truth of God's word is not worship of God. It has to include and be focused on the truth of God's word. Secondly, worship is the confession of our sin. When I confess my sin, and those times when I have made things right, or I've stood even before you, and I've gotten things cleared out, and it's just the confession of sin, what is the result? It's an overwhelming sense to worship God. I've been there and I've experienced it. You can't and I can't worship God with unconfessed sin in our lives. You can't do it. It won't work. Worship is a result of confession, or is the confession of our sin. Worship is getting caught up in who God really is. And I'd say it's getting excited a little bit about God, who he is. Getting caught up and who God really is. And then fourthly, worship is a reaction to God's involvement in my life. and his marvelous works. I am so amazed, and I've said this more than once, but I'm going to say it again, but I'm so amazed at the little things that he'll do in my life just to get me through a day. One thing that was nice, Tim, I saw your dad twice this week out on the job. And that's a blessing. That's an encouragement to see someone like that of like faith and that we can share a little. But the little things that God will do in my life day after day to get me through that day, it's got to lead us to worship. Thank you, God. Only you could have did this. You put this in motion. You took care of even the little things. I was worried. I know I'm not supposed to worry, but me and my humanness, I worried and I was, but you took care of it. Worship is a reaction to God's involvement in our lives and his marvelous works. God's name must lead us to worship. Thirdly, God's name must lead us to represent him well. To represent him well. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do, in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means everything that I do is to be done in his name. In other words, that it relates or that it corresponds with his name and who he is. And it's in connection with that. And it represents him well. It's interesting that the verse before, verse 17, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then he says, do all, word and deed, in the name of the Lord. We need to represent him well. Remember that quote that I gave of Tony Dungy a little bit ago? He said, I want them to know that my Christian faith affects my coaching and everything I do. In other words, he wants to represent God's name well. It was interesting that about a month ago, I was in New Jersey and pulled up to the place I was delivering and got out and walked into the security shack there, building. Walked in, a young man sitting there, and I looked, and on the counter there was a big Bible. Wasn't hard to see it. I think it was at Romans. A little harder without my glasses on, but I think he had it at Romans. So we did what we needed to do for me to get checked in. And so before I left, I said to him, I said, do you believe that book? You know what he said? He was pretty soft-spoken. I think what he said is this, and I think I know what he meant. When I said, do you believe that book? He said, I am that book. Now, I don't think he was claiming to be Christ. He was claiming that that book is his life. I was there again a week or two ago, still laying there. I think it moved forward. I forget what it was. If it was 1 Corinthians, I took a look. He remembered me. That's an encouragement. New Jersey, of all places. God's got believers in New Jersey, as I can assure you. He does. If we're going to reverence God's name, we must represent him well. God's name must lead us to praise him, to worship him, and to live in a way that truly honors who he is and is consistent with his word and all his attributes, who he is, God. That's a tall order. I fail many times. But my purpose is that, generally speaking, it can be said that I represent God well. Reverence for his name is more than not speaking his name in vain, but it involves our whole life. God help us to do so.
I don't know how I can add more to that, but I want to just, I'd like for you to turn to number 22 in the black hymnal. And I want to quote to you Psalm 110, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Our brother had a lot of verses today about the Lord's holy name. And I would say to you that I probably do not praise him as much as I should. But I'd like us to sing from that. It's going to be different. It's going to be a little different this morning, but turn to number 22 in the black hymnal. We want to sing that in closing here.